Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1112. Here, this is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me, we have Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
What is going on, man? How you doing?
Everything's good, man. Shout out to Pete. He's still out of town. Probably going to be joining us in the next couple of weeks. Can't wait for us three to have our conversation like always, man. I truly miss him, man. I love chatting with him. Everything when it comes to gaming, man. Yeah. Shout out to Pete. So, we have a couple things that we could be talking about. Also, shout out to Shack Our Gear. They sponsored this episode of Gamertag Radio. We're going to be talking about that later on. And we have also a promo code only for our GTR listeners. You're not going to find that nowhere else. So, make sure to take advantage. More details later on the show. But first, head over to Gamertag Radio. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio, and once we pop up, make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also share with your friends. If you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so I have a couple voicemails, but I'm going to save that, I think, for next week's episode. Because there's a lot of things we want to talk about, especially with all the news, what happened with Xbox next week. And also, PlayStation had some news last week, too. It's a lot of things to talk about, man. But first, this is kind of like a breaking news, because I saw this yesterday while I was browsing Twitter. And then this morning, I saw Paris also posted about it, about Xbox Network. So at first I was like, is this fake? Is this real? But it's a confirmation. It looks like a real thing. A major change might be coming with Xbox with this name. And I think we have different theories. I have one, but I want to hear your theory too, Paris. My theory is, I think that they're trying to make everything easier for the average consumer. Everything just Xbox. I think that Xbox Live is just the name, the brand is going to go away. Eventually, that's going to be all about Game Pass. And I think it's just trying to make it everything just Xbox, just to make it easier, you know? So that's what I think. But for you, Paris, I know you posted this a couple minutes ago on Twitter. I know at first you thought it was fake, but Tom Warren from The Verge confirmed, like, no, this is real. So what are your thoughts about this, and what is your theory about this name change that might be coming up in the future?
Yeah, just to clarify exactly, I woke up this morning and somebody slid into my DMs and shared those images with me. So I was like, what is this? And they're like, Xbox Network. I was like, huh. So I just tweeted about it. I had no idea who the original source, and I posted it as if, hey, if it's real, I have no idea. Here's my speculation on it. And then Tom Warren from The Verge replied to me and said specifically, no, that image is from me and another Twitter user named Evil Boris. So, you know, I gave him credit, obviously, because I had no idea. But as far as my thoughts on it, the fact that they're even testing, it looks like this is being tested on some insider builds, as an example, because other people were responding to me on Twitter saying, yep, I see it too. My guess would be that, yeah, the name Xbox Live has been around now for 19 years now, right? And it would make sense that they start to move away from that, because Xbox as a whole, with all their services and features, transcends the console now. It's not just about the console anymore. It obviously goes, you know, to PC platforms as well as the cloud, as we see, you know, with Project X Cloud. So it makes sense the further they're trying to reach more people, the more simplified they're probably going to want to make that name. They don't want it to be confusing, because Xbox Live is basically been synonymous with a paid service, whereas now they're starting to go beyond that. There's free to play features with the multiplayer. Obviously, we have Game Pass. Like I said, you have Project X Cloud that they're doing. Obviously, all the sharing features that they have that happen across the quote unquote network. Now, it just makes sense that you would eventually move away from that and just get to a more simplified name. Again, this could just be a testing thing, an insider. We have no idea if they have any real plans to move away from Xbox Live, but I could definitely see a scenario where they do that. And either way, I'd be fine with it. I mean, we understand what it is, but I think, you know, when you get the non quote unquote hardcore console player into the Xbox ecosystem, you want to give them in basically a simple name, and they don't have to, well, what is Xbox Live? What does that mean? Xbox Network. That's something everyone can wrap their head around and understand, in my opinion. So could be very well true that they eventually will have a name change, but we'll have to see.
And I find it catchy because, you know, having it as Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Live Silver, like it's
the same as PlayStation. PlayStation Network. Simple.
Yeah, yeah. Simple. Yeah. Catchy and so on. And I think Nintendo is what? Nintendo Switch Online? You know, but hey, I think it's catchy. I think it's good. Really, really good. So yeah, for those that are part of the Insiders program, let us know your thoughts. You know, do you like this name or not? Do you think Xbox is going to announce this soon? You know, cause I know there was a rumor of a conference digital event that they were going to talk more about their services. And I think that was probably was going to be it. They're probably going to announce it during that digital event. Now, is it still happening? I haven't really heard anything. Because the only thing we heard so far has just been like the indie showcase coming up on the 25th, but there's no details, anything about their digital event about that. So do you think it's still happening, Paris?
I mean, we'll have to see. We don't know. Obviously, the 26th event now is going to be ID at Xbox and showcase 100 indie titles throughout that event, partnered up with Twitch, which is a good thing. I'm excited to see it and check it out next week. Yeah. But will they eventually have an event? Like, I still feel like, and I don't know if they need an event to do this or they just put out something on Xbox Wire or whatever. But clearly, whenever xCloud officially comes to iOS and PC, they're going to want to make a big deal out of that. They've obviously put out that video already on the Xbox YouTube channel to talk about the team behind Project X Cloud and just, you know, from day one to where we are now. And clearly there was a hint that iOS and PC is coming very soon. We also saw the picture that Aaron Greenberg shared of Phil Spencer clearly playing Destiny 2 on his Surface Pro, which obviously had to have been the PC app that he was playing it on via X Cloud in the airport. So it's coming. If they need to make a super big deal about it, I don't know yet. I'm still convinced, like we've talked about many times, that, you know, the TV app, when it comes to smart TVs, that's going to be, in my opinion, the coming out party for it, because now you're reaching everyone when you're doing that. And that's going to probably be the easiest way for the non-console gamer to literally just pick up a controller, click on the app on their TV and start playing games, right? So whether that's a partnership with Samsung, who knows? Maybe they make a big deal out of it at that point in time. But yeah, TBD, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm excited to try out S-Cloud on other devices. I know we tried it I had it on my tablet iOS, but it was only for Halo Master Chief Collection, which is not bad at all. It was smooth. I had a good time with that. But yeah, I want to try it out, you know, on iPhones, mm-hmm. on tablets, on the TV. I definitely want to do that to see how's the experience connecting the controller to those devices. Is it going to be a lot easier, especially the TV? Like, how's that going to work? You know, so because I mentioned this, and shout out to SCAS, Mike, and you. We were recording a couple of days ago, and it's live the episode right now. But I did mention about my experience connecting my original Xbox One through a Samsung Smart TV, and you will see an icon that will say Xbox. So I could see an icon popping up as it looks like an app when you go through to the menu. But when I connected like a PlayStation or a Nintendo Switch, it was just like a different icon, like a regular input icon. And you could switch from there just by clicking it, right?
Yeah.
But with Xbox, it was always the brand always popping up orange, green, bold. And I could see that happening once the official app comes out for those devices. Like, just imagine you buy a brand new TV and the app is already installed within all smart TVs of Samsung. Because I know a couple of years ago they did mention that they had a partnership not only for mobile but also for smart TVs. But that was like the only thing they said. And then they started talking about more about the phone and nothing about the TV. So I think now is like the perfect time to start doing that. Because Xbox been had this on beta now for phones, especially Android, for months now. And this is like, I think, the right time to now have an iOS and on TV and get more people out there together. Because there's a lot of people that don't have Android devices and they're dying to try this out, you know? So, and you're one of them, Paris. You know, at first you're like, I want to play this, but I can't. You know, so
Look, full disclosure, last year Xbox did send both of us Samsung Galaxy Note phones and, you know, and the Rishik, I actually have it right here, the controller. So that I can play Project X Cloud or, you know, via Game Pass on an Android device. So, you know, thank you to Xbox for providing that. But my big thing was I wanted to play it on my iPad, which, like you said, when they were testing it out last year, I was able to play Halo Master Chief Collection on there. And obviously the whole dispute with Apple, that's why we don't see, you know, an official Game Pass app on there right now. And they're going to bypass that by going through the Safari browser. GeForce Now does that as well. They're already doing it. I'm able to play GeForce Now or Steam games via GeForce Now on my iPad right now. And it works great. So that's good news, obviously, for when xCloud does it as well, because I know it works, and we should be seeing it here, like I said, here in the very near future. And then obviously it'll be on the Windows 10 devices, and then ultimately, like we're saying, I think, you know, smart TVs and breaking the fourth wall. I even saw someone in the chat asking, well, the TVs would need to have Bluetooth, right? Yes, you're gonna have to have a smart TV that has Bluetooth capability, unless there's some dongle or something that you can obviously plug into the television to pair up your Xbox controller or your PlayStation controller, whatever input device you're going to use to actually play these games. So when they get to that point, and again, we keep saying Samsung because obviously they have a history of partnership with Samsung when it comes to this stuff. I can very well imagine, you know, the first rollout of this coming via Samsung TVs that are Bluetooth enabled, have the app basically baked into the TV. It's right there. You click it, sign in, you have your Game Pass subscription, and all those games are going to be available to you. Play just right there on your TV. I also think part of it, because we know via Windows Central, shout out to Jez, they have been testing 1080p support, because right now xCloud runs at 720p. I also think that's the other part of this equation as well, as they're continue to update the infrastructure for xCloud from the Xbox One over to now the Series X infrastructure. As that starts to come into play, we start to get 1080p streaming. That's when I think you'll start to see the stuff show up on a television. But long conversation to bring it back to the very beginning. This is probably why you could see them testing changing the name from Xbox Live to Xbox Network, because look at all the moving parts that'll potentially be happening that isn't just isolated to the console. There's going to be so many other devices out there that are potentially going to be able to, you'll be able to use to consume Xbox content, that it probably makes sense at this point to start to gravitate away from that original Xbox Live name and get to something more simplified, so everyone that enters the ecosystem can understand it.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. All right, Paris, so we're going to change the conversation very quick here, and then we'll bring up some of the news that happened last week. There was so many, and I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about, but let's talk about our experience with the Xbox a wireless headset, man. This is, I got here, mine's originally I was going to wear it for this episode, but I've been using it so much, because I've been playing, like I said earlier, the Outer Worlds, the new expansion, the final expansion that came out for that game. And man, the sound, I made the sound even better. So this is what I did. So a couple days ago, I saw a tweet from Jez, that one of his writers from Windows Central Gaming, they had a whole article of, and also video on how to adjust the actual settings for the headset so it could sound even better. Paris, I did that, it's a game changer.
Now I have an even better one, by the way. I saw that. I saw that one from Miles, which shout out to Miles. I'm going to be going on his podcast pretty soon. But there's an even better one I saw on YouTube. I'll send it to you where you change the settings up even more. Perfect. I was watching the Snyder
really?
Cut. Yeah, I was watching the Snyder Cut with him on. And the sound reproduction was really, really good. I'll send it to you.
Please. Because I really like the sound that
see if I can find it.
I fixed it up based on the settings that he had. And yo, the bass, the sound. It's good. You know me, Paris. Like, I'm very picky when it comes to like sound.
Oh, dude, here it is.
It sounds so much better. But if there's another one that's even better than that, yo, please let me know. I definitely would try that out.
Yeah.
But it's really good. Really, really good. Yeah, I have the settings exactly like his, and also the bass, I put it +5. So when you play like a game like Apex Legends, you start shooting, oh man, it just sounds pretty good. You hear the footsteps from people and everything. It sounds good. Really, really good.
I put the link in the chat to the YouTube video, as well as he has an image as well. You've seen it in there. And I know, listeners, you're over like, well, that don't help me. Maybe we can throw that in the show notes.
And you can check it out there as well.
But I did these settings. Great. Works really, really good.
No, that's good. It's good. Now, $99. I know we mentioned this a couple times online already and on SCAS, but I really, really like this headset. The only problem that I have, Paris, I wish the mic could have been a little bit better. Like the quality itself of the mic. But look, it's $99.
Told you.
What? Yeah.
Remember,
I know.
We're having that conversation.
Yeah. But look, it's comfortable. So the other day. Yeah. And I'm going to keep it real. The other day, actually 2 days ago, Friday night and also Saturday, I was playing Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis. By the way, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that game later on. It's a very important game for me. And so I was playing this and streaming it for hours. And I had the glasses on. I had the headset on. Everything Paris. Also, I played... like I said, The Outer Worlds and a couple other games, just to test Apex Legends. We're playing for hours. Dude, comfortable the whole time. Now, I did feel like I got a little bit hot, maybe because I was just getting hot in the room because I had like a lot of electronics on and everything. But overall, it was comfortable. Comfortable, great experience, sound quality good. The only problem that I have is just like the voice chat. The audio quality is not the greatest. But I recommend this for everybody to get it, man, because for that price, it's a game changer for me, in my opinion, you know, because a lot of companies will charge even more for something like this, and I like it. I really, really enjoy it. I like it, and I love the where you could change the settings of like game audio, voice audio, connect it to my phone, to my device. I was talking to Paris while playing a game. He was watching a movie while talking to me through the same headset, you know, and it was good. Really, really good overall, man. So what are your thoughts about the headset, and is it worth it, in your opinion, for $99?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the biggest talking point is what you're getting at this price point. Absolutely, it's worth it. Are there better headsets out there? Yes, like I'm literally wearing Astro 850s right now, but they're also $300, right? So you have to put that in. But the fact that you're getting a headset that's going to allow you to do Dolby Atmos, Windows Sonic, DTS:X, it has Bluetooth functionalities for multi-audio. So kind of what Danny was just talking about, where I could be in-game playing on my console, but via Bluetooth, I could still be listening to music via Spotify, hop into a Discord voice chat, things like that. The audio reproduction, if you tweak it, like we were just talking about before, is good enough. The microphone and I put a video up, you check out my YouTube channel and on Twitter, where I'm talking on this mic and then I switch over in the video to the Xbox wireless headset mic, so you can hear the difference. It's acceptable for in-game chat. I have no issue with it from that standpoint. I do like the simplicity of it. One button click, you can connect to your, I've connected to my Series X, to my S. I have the Xbox wireless dongle on my Windows 10 PC. It connects to that, all seamless. I love that the settings stay consistent across all three devices with the Xbox accessories app, so you don't have to go and adjust it every time you connect to a new device. It's good. It's comfortable. you talk about the microphone placement. I know we talked about this on XCast as well, but you know, I wish it was either retractable, so it was completely out of the way when I'm not using it, or it was a little bit longer, if that makes sense, right? I don't like the placement of the mute button on it either. I'm always searching for it. I can never find it. But, you know, Jason Ronald even talked, because I know even some people don't like the fact that if you turn on the headset, it will turn on your console. I personally like that. I've seen comments that people don't like it. And I saw Jason Ronald from Xbox talking about that online. And that is something they're considering updating in the future. There's already been a firmware update. They're looking at other firmware updates, you know, to tweak as they get community feedback and improve the headset over time as well. But at that $99 price point, compared to other headsets in that space, yes, 100% worth it. Like I said, the fact that you don't even need a dongle with this thing, if you're a console gamer or, you know, Xbox console gamer, perfect. You know, great. You don't have that extra accessory that you need to carry around with you. So that's great. It's very seamless with the actual console itself, just like the controllers. I would not recommend this for anyone that only plays on PC. There are definitely better headsets that I would use even at that price point for PC gaming, right? But if you're looking for a multifunctional headset that's at a very reasonable, affordable price for what it does, absolutely, I recommend it. I don't think you'll regret it. Let's put it that way.
Now, my question to you, because I got a couple people hitting me up about this, and I was like, I wasn't surprised about this at all. Dolby Atmos charging, I think it's like, what, a monthly charge? I think it's like,
yeah.
I don't know the price of that.
It's a one-time charge.
Oh, it is one-time charge? Oh,
yeah, it's a one-time charge. I'll keep my comments to myself, but okay, I know what you're talking. I know what you're talking about. It's a one-time charge for Dolby Atmos. It's not an Xbox thing. It's a Dolby thing. I was lucky enough when I got my Plantronics, the rig, it was a Rig 900 or whatever. This was a few years back. It came with Dolby Atmos included. So I got the license for it then. So I've had it for a few years now. The one that comes with this Xbox wireless headset, it expires in September, I believe. And then you'll have to purchase it. And I have not looked, so I don't know 100%. I've heard it could be as much as $100 to buy it. That seems extreme. I doubt it, but I could be wrong. But yes, there is a license charge for it. It's a one-time fee that you'll have to pay. It will not be free. This is why you have Windows Sonic is free, and that's from Windows. DTS:X is another one, which I do think there's a minimal charge for that as well. I can't remember, but there's three different options that you can use for that spatial, I believe I'm saying the word correctly, audio that you get. As an example, having Dolby Atmos with Gears 5, phenomenal in-game experience, just basically kind of having that 3D effect soundscape that you can use in that. It's great. So, you know, if you have the headset, check out Dolby Atmos, see if it's something that you like. If it is and you need to go purchase it, you make that decision at that time and how much you want to spend on it. Like I said, I don't have it in front of me. I'm not sure how much it costs for right now. But yeah, there is a one-time charge to use it after September.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, so let's move on here. Now, Paris, very quick, I want to mention about our sponsor, Shack iGear, which is something that we've been in talks to with the company out for a while. Because this is like something new that popped up for us. And we've been using these glasses now, what, for like 2 months or so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's been 2 months. And it's been great. I'm first of all, I've been rocking these and I've been posting videos, and a lot of people have been asking me, like, what is this? And I didn't say anything. You know, this one, for those who don't know, the one that I have, because yours is different, Paris. Yours is like a black one, but mine has a red and white. So put this on right here. So yeah, I've been rocking this for a while, man. Loving this so much, man. I know we have a code, because a lot of people have been asking me like more information about it. But we do have a promo code for our GTR listeners that's 10% off, and you're not gonna find this nowhere else. This is like an exclusive promo code, and it's GTR. If you go to shackeyedgear.com, just put GTR. And also, I'm going to put a special link if you go under the description, and there's going to be more details about the glasses and everything there too. And also, the social media where you could also follow them and everything. But Paris, how's it been your experience, man, with Shaq Eyegear, man, for you, man?
No, these are great. And if people have, you know, been paying attention to some of the content I've been on the past couple of weeks, I've been wearing them. And they're very comfortable. That's the number one thing that I look for in any eyewear that I wear. It has to be comfortable. What's the point of wearing it? Secondly, is it taking out that blue light? Is it getting, you know, taking that out so I don't have eye fatigue as I'm staring in front of a screen all the time? You know, even in my day job, I'm staring at a screen for hours at a time. It does do that. It's been great so far. So obviously when Shaq's team reached out to us and we had those conversations, they sent those glasses over, you know, they wanted our feedback on it. First and foremost, it was like, we want to know what you think about these glasses. And we sat down with their team, had a few sessions with them, went over what we liked, what they didn't like. And, you know, they felt the feedback was invaluable. And now they are sponsoring us, and we'll obviously have a lot more to talk about these glasses over the next few months. But they're great. So if you're in the market looking for eyewear, gaming glass eyewear, you know, because like I said, you want something comfortable. You want something to take away that blue light and eye fatigue. These are great. Highly recommended from me.
Yeah. So one more time, shaqeyegear.com/discount/GTR. That's the automatic one. Or just go to shaqeyegear.com and just put promo code GTR and you'll get 10% off your order. All right. So also, if you get one of these, please let us know. You post your pictures or just hit us up on Discord or just social media and let us know your experience, man, with the glasses. All right.
Yep. So well, before we continue, and again, thank you to Shaq Eye for sponsoring the show. We really appreciate it. I do want to circle back to the previous discussion about the whole Dolby app thing. I did look it up. Looks like it's $15 for the license. Oh. So not crazy. Okay. But hey, not everybody wants to spend $15 on that stuff. So I would say, again, if you get these headsets and you get that trial license right now, use it, test it out, see if it works for you. Personally, I love it. I use it here on my Windows 10 PC. I use it on the Series X and the S as well. And it's great. But you be the judge of it. You judge if it's worth the $15 price point after September.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to try it out because, you know, I've never experienced that on any headphones, like, ever. So, and I know you've been mentioning to me, Danny, you have to play Gears 5 with this. It's like a premium experience, man. So yeah. I gotta do that for sure. Definitely, man. All right, so Paris, so here's the thing that I want to talk to you about. Before we mentioned about Outriders and everything, you know, all the crazy announcements last week. So this past couple of days now, a shout out to Sega for giving me the opportunity to try out Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis. Now, last year we were watching the digital showcase from Xbox, and they showed the trailer very quick, right? And a lot of people were confused about that game. They were like, wait, is it just an expansion? Like, what is this, right? So that's the conversation I had with Mark. Shout out to him. He used to be the host for Guardian Radio, one of my favorite podcasts out there, man. It was really cool. And I know he has one now too. The Enthusiast podcast? I forgot. I can't remember exactly. But anyways. Enthusiast Life. There you go. So, yeah, we were having this conversation. And the thing that I'm worried about is people will think that this is the old game, which if you play Phantasy Star Online 2 now, it feels very dated because this is a game that has never been released here in the States. It was always in Japan. And it was only available for PC. And this game came out like, what, 2012, 2013? Like a long, long time ago. So when it came out last year here in the States, people, you know, played it, but they were like, yeah, I played better MMO games now in 2020, 2021, which I totally get it. When I played this game, it felt like a totally next-gen experience. Now, a lot of people are going to ask, why Sega still has that name, PSO2, attached to this game and not call it Phantasy Star Online 3? And the thing, my theory is, this is where Sega makes the most money in Japan, because there's so many people. This is like the most popular MMO game, online RPG game in Japan. So I get it. They want to keep the same subscribers to go to this game using their same account. And the only difference is they're going to have certain items that they got from the previous game to the new game. But level-wise, it's going to be a totally... like, you're going to start from scratch, right? This game felt like Breath of the Wild type vibe, where you could look anywhere in the map and you could just look at it and you could just go there. They added a lot of new things like swimming, flying, all this stuff. Enemies is freaking insane. Boss battles is even crazier. There's 32 players now where all of us could get together and like fight boss battles. It was like a really cool experience to me, like playing Phantasy Star Online 2, or Phantasy Star Online, the original one, back in the Dreamcast days. It was like game-changing for me back then, especially for that type of game for a console. It feels like this now. Like, this is a totally, totally different game. But I'm excited because I really want people to try this out again when it comes out later this year. And I do have a theory about when we might see this game coming out. But for you, as a person that never played this game from the outside, were you like kind of confused too? Is this like an expansion? This is what? In your opinion, for you, Paris?
I just assumed it was like, yeah, just some kind of expansion or slash remake of the original. Basically, that's how I viewed it. So, yeah, so it was interesting that they kept that naming convention after all this time and didn't just call it Phantasy Star Online .. some new name, or Phantasy Star Online 3.
Yeah, yeah. Good to know. Now, here's my theory. And by the way, make sure to listen to the episode that I recorded yesterday. It's coming out this Thursday. It's 69 minutes long, where we break down everything about the game. Like, we went all in. And what we did, I invited Mark to come to the show, because last time I invited him because I've never played PSO 2 and he has. So now this episode is the other way around. I play the game, he hasn't. So he's asking me questions like, Danny, how about this? As a fan of PSO, so highly recommend it. This Thursday is going to be out. Now, here's my theory, Paris. And I mentioned this to Mark, and Mark was like, yo, this is a great theory. So a couple months ago, the closed beta came out in Japan. Only Japanese player got to play it. Now, months later, over the weekend, now is Japanese, and some people outside of Japan, content creators, got to play it and also got to stream it online, right? We have never seen this from Sega before, by the way, when it comes to, like, promoting that game out there like that. Now, I think there is a global closed beta coming out sometime in the future. I think it's going to be in May. And the reason is, and I think they did this for the previous game last year, console and PC closed beta, and then in June release this game and announce the date during the digital showcase of Xbox. And the reason why I say this is because this is like the best opportunity for Sega to promote something like this. There's nothing over the summer. There's no major games, right? Plus, you know how it is when a company says, this game is available right now to download, right? People get excited. Plus, this is free. And I think doing that, and for those that play the closed beta, you could transfer your progress to the main game once it comes out, which they did that last time for Xbox One and so on. So I personally think we're probably going to get this on the day when the digital showcase of Xbox comes out. Because last year, that's when they announced it for the first time. And this is a global release. So I think this is a great way to promote it, man. So what do you think of my theory, Paris, for you, in your opinion?
I think that would be a great idea. I think you're definitely on to something. It would make a lot of sense to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to say that very quick. Yeah. Make sure to listen. Yeah. Make sure to listen to the episode coming out Thursday. It's a phenomenal episode. Like, one of my favorite episodes I recorded. So maybe because I'm just hyped about the game, but just want to say that. So let's move on, because we only have a couple more minutes here. Paris, last week was a lot of news, man. Lots of news with Xbox and PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the PlayStation one, because there was like less news on that one. But your thoughts about the new PlayStation VR, where they showed, they had details about the controllers and everything. And are you excited? Because I knew you've always been someone that you really wanted to get VR for a while, but you've just been like a hold and wait and see situation, because you want the right software to come out. And I think Half-Life Alyx last year was the one. and you still haven't really purchased VR, but do you think this will be the one, in your opinion, that you will probably will get and try out or no?
Maybe. And it's interesting because I was dead set on getting Valve Index basically a year ago, right before the pandemic happened. Then that happened. I was like, wait, maybe I don't need to be spending $1,000 on VR hardware. So I held off. And I've been thinking again now, like, maybe I should go ahead and just get the Valve Index. Then I'm hearing now with PlayStation, with this new VR hardware, basically 2.0 hardware, and now we've seen what the control scheme looks like, I want to know more. So now I'm holding off again. I'm very curious to see what PlayStation VR 2.0 is going to look like from a technical standpoint. Obviously, we're seeing some of the actual hardware features, and also titles. What kind of games can we expect? I would be shocked if Half-Life Alyx, they didn't work out a deal with Valve that Half-Life Alyx wasn't their day and date. But I would also imagine they're going to have some other killer apps as well, where, you know, obviously from their internal studios, and then work with some third parties as well. I talked about this on Kind of Funny Daily last week, but I'm starting to think we potentially could see PlayStation VR 2.0 the first half of 2022. The fact that they're already starting to tease some of this out, we'll probably hear more about it during whatever summer event PlayStation has. And then, you know, obviously throughout the rest of the year and the holidays and then 2022. So as much as I still want to go ahead and invest in VR and I want to jump into that space, I kind of want to know a little more. Right now, if I had to choose, I'm going to get the Valve Index. We know that's the best on the market right now. We've obviously seen what Valve's already done with Half-Life Alyx. But I do want to see what PlayStation does, because I think if there's going to be mass adoption of VR, it's going to be the PlayStation VR, because it's going to be more affordable. Obviously, it's going to be working on PlayStation 5s. We know there's going to be a lot of PlayStation 5s out there in the space. We need to see what kind of compatible games are going to be with it as well. So as much as I feel like I want to pull the trigger right now, I'm still holding off because I want to know a little more.
Yeah. No, and it's exciting to see that PlayStation hasn't really given up on this, and they're still pushing it, man. Still pushing, because honestly, PlayStation is the only console that released in VR. We're not seeing this from Xbox. We're not seeing this from like Nintendo. I know Nintendo released something very small, but it's not like this at all. So it's good to see that they're still going for it, man. You know, now, is it a big, huge crowd? No, but I'm glad that they're still releasing content for that, man. And that's where I discovered games like Thumper was through PlayStation VR, right. You know? So, and also I played Tetris Effect. I played that through VR. So yeah, I think it's going to be cool, man. Seeing this, man. I can't wait to hear more from PlayStation about it too, man. And let me tell you, if this is, let's just say Half-Life Alyx comes out for VR, I think that's the perfect launch game for this, man. And also next gen for the PlayStation, you know? So yeah. We'll see what happens.
All right,
Paris. Now, your thoughts about this news, man. Outriders coming out.
Okay,
Xbox,
you completely skipped over another portion of PlayStation news. There's PlayStation.
I'm trying to go fast.
Because God forbid we don't talk enough about PlayStation on the show. Play at Home, the big initiative that PlayStation showcased this year, Play at Home 21. And they showcase a bunch of indie titles this week on the PlayStation blog. One of them being Operation Tango, which I had a blast playing at Gamescom last year for IGN. So I'm really looking forward to that finally coming out along with some other indie titles. So definitely go to the PlayStation blog and check that out. But also with Play at Home, they've been giving away free games. Ratchet and Clank is one that's already out that you can go download it right now, completely free, 100%. You own it. They showcase some other games that are coming. And you mentioned, like, I think
Thumper
is one of them.
Thumper's in there, yeah.
But the big one that's coming, April 19th, I think is the date. I could be slightly off on that, but in April, Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition, 100% free. You can get on PlayStation, and you guys already know how much I love that game. It is absolutely one of the best new IPs and one of the best games of the last generation. You know, so if you have not fallen in love with Aloy yet and her adventures, then absolutely download this, check it out, play it. Obviously, get ready for Horizon Forbidden West, which, knock on wood, should be coming out this holiday, hopefully, on PS4 and PlayStation 5. So awesome news. Awesome news to see what PlayStation is doing with that, you know, offering these free games. Again, just more discovery, getting some of these older IPs in people's hands so they can check them out. And let's just keep it real. It's a great lead in to the, like, we know we got Rift Apart coming out for Ratchet and Clank. So being able to play the old ones, great anticipation for that in June. And then obviously, like we said, with Horizon Zero Dawn in anticipation of Forbidden West coming later this year as well. So great stuff with PlayStation. So definitely go to PlayStation blog and check all that out.
No, really, really cool. And once again, try out Horizon, but also please, please, please try out Thumper. I love that game. That game is phenomenal, man. Really cool. And I hope we get to see more of this in the future from PlayStation. Just also show a lot of the indie games that came out last gen. And then, yeah, we'll see, man. Really exciting news, man. Now, another exciting news is Outriders coming out on Xbox Game Pass day one. For Xbox Game Pass subscribers, and this is the first AAA title from a third party company doing this with Xbox. I think this is exciting, man, and I have a feeling this is not going to be the only one. There's going to be way more in the future, which I'm really curious to see which one is going to be next. But your thoughts, Paris, when you got to see this news? Because to me, I was just amazed. Like, really? Wow! Like, we had this conversation like before. I just didn't like the game was getting, you know, a good buzz online, but I didn't know that this game was going to be like a huge success just having only on retail. And I think by having this game now also available on Game Pass, that's a whole totally new audience that probably never even played the demo that are probably going to be curious. And maybe this will be a way for them to get hooked on this, man. And this is probably going to help Square even more with this game, man. So what do you think about this announcement from last week, man, which is one of the biggest announcements from last week, man. So,
yeah, I didn't believe it at first because there was word of this. They were obviously hinting at it late last week, you know, with Melissa McGame Pass. And I was like, outright, they're not going to do outright. So I was like, I didn't believe it. And then obviously the news came out. And then when I thought about it more, it makes sense from a Square and a People Can't Fly perspective. In the fact that this is a brand new IP, obviously the demo is out there on all the platforms. People can jump in and try it for themselves. But if Microsoft is basically willing to give them a little bit of financial security up front by bringing it day one to Game Pass, introduce this new IP into the community, almost like an extended demo, try it before you buy it kind of thing as a part of the Game Pass service, makes a lot of sense. It has definitely changed my perspective on where I'm going to play it. I might as well play it on Xbox now instead of PC, even though I know there's crossplay and everything, but I might as well just let my progression be on Xbox because that's where I keep saying the majority, and I don't mean to say that, but that's where a lot of people are going to go play this game now because they're Game Pass subscribers and there's no risk to them, right? Try it, let the game speak for itself. If you love it, if you love what they're doing, if you progress through the story, get to the end game and you really like it and you continue to play it, hey, you win as a gamer. If you don't, move on to the next thing. It's really that simple. So it's almost a win-win across the board because as gamers, we don't have to go shell out $60 to go try this game. We can just try it because we're already subscribed to Game Pass. As the publisher, Square Enix, you know, they get some upfront financial security from this, from Microsoft. And from the Microsoft standpoint, it adds more value to Game Pass. So in that sense, as Microsoft is still in this acquisition phase and they're building up the brand of Game Pass and all this, I mean, it's great, like I said, for all parties involved. So I'm excited to see. Now, on XCast, I told you already, I had a conspiracy Steve Uh-oh. With all this because you talked about they're not going to be done with third-party AAA games. I agree. And if I had to look into the crystal ball and think of what would be a great game that could come to Game Pass day one from a third party, and it's the same scenario where we all win, it's Battlefield 6. Think about it. Battlefield 5 was not a hit for EA. Just, you know, that's putting it lightly. It's a big AAA shooter game that has traditionally gone head-to-head with Call of Duty. Call of Duty is the GOAT. Call of Duty is the monster. You ain't got to like it, but you got to learn to live with it because it's the best thing going today. Woo! Shout out to Ric Flair. you look again. Xbox is trying to build up value in Game Pass. You have a lot of skeptical people on the fence that didn't like Battlefield 5 that may not necessarily want to go run out and spend $60 for Battlefield 6. What better way to get people to jump in and go try it to say, hey, available day one on Game Pass? Obviously, Xbox and EA already have a partnership going with EA Play. EA Play is now on both console and PC. Why not do something aggressive like this? Both parties win in that scenario. It's going to build up the community base because you're going to get a lot of people jumping into Battlefield 6 to try it out, playing the multiplayer campaign. Again, you let the game speak for itself. EA gets them up front, you know, whatever the partnership agreement they come to, I'm sure there'd be some financial incentive for them to put it on there day one. We get to try out Battlefield 6. If we like it, we keep it moving. And then, hey, maybe when the expansions and the DLCs come out, that's not a part of Game Pass. You got to go buy them. But now you've earned the trust of the gamer that, wow, Battlefield 6 is really good. You know what? I am going to go spend $15 on that expansion or whatever it is, right? And you keep it going from there. So, yeah, that's my conspiracy, Steve. Miss Leo, Battlefield yeah. 6. I'm going to stick to it till I'm proven wrong.
Let me tell you this. I usually don't agree with Paris with a lot of things.
Wow.
I agree with this one. 100% Paris.
Maybe take the glasses off on that one. Wow.
No, dude, I could see it. Think about it, Paris. This, in my opinion, could be the way for the game to be a success for EA. And at the same time, promote EA Play.
Yep.
With this partnership
yep.
and have it available on console and PC. That's huge.
I got a feeling if they do it, it'll be like Outriders and it won't be on PC. I think it might be console only. I mean, they're really pushing it then.
S-Cloud too, right?
Well, yeah, it'll be on the cloud. Yeah, because it's on console. I could see them streaming on the cloud. But we'll see. I just think EA is trying to rebuild their reputation with all their games, because let's just keep it real. Mass Effect Andromeda, Battlefield 5, obviously Anthem, the Madden 21 fiasco. I mean, it's not been a good last few years for EA. It just hasn't been for their lineup. I mean, Jedi Fallen Order has really been the exception to the rule when it comes to the games they've been releasing lately. So they need a win. They need Battlefield 6 to come out hot. They need to invigorate the community to want to jump in and go play it. I think, like I said, both for EA and Microsoft, this is a win-win for both of them, right? Because adds more value to Game Pass. For EA, it gets more people to jump in and try the game. And then for us, we feel we don't have a risk because, well, I'm already subscribed to Game Pass. Might as well go try it. You know, there was a Forbes had a great article that came out this week that kind of showed, because again, numbers don't lie. You can console war argue all you want about nonsense, but numbers don't lie. Numbers show Game Pass subscribers are more engaged in the gaming. Sea of Thieves and Forza Horizon 4 were the great examples they used just percentage wise. I think it was like 20 or 30% more engagement in those games. Like the user base for Sea of Thieves rose by 20% because it was on Game Pass or something like that. I might be flipping it backwards, but the point is, more people are playing games and playing them longer and actually buying more games that subscribe to Game Pass. The stats just simply bear that out. So I absolutely could see Microsoft wanting to push this more. And then, like, they were even in that article talking about it from the developer standpoint. Developers like being on Game Pass too. Again, upfront financial security, more engagement into their games, which leads to people, when they do come out with expansions and DLC, wanting to go purchase that content. So overall, it just works. And I know I sound like such a freaking hype man and a cheerleader for Game Pass. I think what someone in a YouTube comment, what did he call me? I forget now, but basically it wasn't shill. It was better than that, but it was funny. I'm an Xbox infomercial or some nonsense like that. But I just like, I won't curse, but I just like cool stuff. Okay. I like exciting things. And everyone has been listening to this podcast over the years know I have been brutally honest about Xbox. So if they're doing something right, I'm going to say it. And I have no shame in saying it, but if they do something wrong, like, hello, $120 Xbox Live Gold, I'm going to say that too, right? Yeah. They're not perfect. This corporation is a business trying to make money. But if it benefits us and it benefits the developer, why not be excited about that? Let Microsoft figure out all the financial sorcery they're doing that makes this viable for them. Not my problem. Yeah. I'm just a gamer. I just want to play cool games. And this is just a way to be able to do it.
No, well, yeah, I agree with you, man. And there's another game you forgot to mention too, Apex Legends. That's another game that's huge for
maybe
for
I didn't
EA.
Forget it. Maybe I didn't forget to say it because I don't play it. I'm kidding.
Oh, that, you're right. That's right. No, but and both imagine this, Paris. You mentioned two games that success and it is only Respawn. So where the other studios, yeah. You know? Yeah.
So what does that say? Well, notice EA's changed the mandate now. Not all the studios have to use Frostbite.
That's a huge move.
I was in a clubhouse with, and I'm forgetting her exact name, so I don't want to butcher it, but basically she's the head of all the studios at EA. She was in a clubhouse kind of talking about the pandemic and just the way development's going and all that. And she even mentioned that they lifted that mandate about the Frostbite engine because they've seen the success that Respawn has had not using it. So why make studios use an engine that clearly Anthem suffered for being on Frostbite? Mass Effect Andromeda suffered for being on Frostbite. I'm sure there's others. But the point is, don't make a studio use an engine that they're not necessarily familiar with. And maybe they don't even want to use it. Maybe it limits what they want to do. Maybe Unreal is better for them to use or something else, right? You know, allow studios to have that flexibility. So I think that's been a lot of the problem with EA the past few years. Obviously, you know, the live service stuff didn't work for them either. So they're shifting focus and they're trying to rebuild their reputation. So bring this all the way back to the original point. This is why I think a Battlefield 6 could make a lot of sense to be on Game Pass, because it'll be seen as a goodwill move by them to get more people to want to play their games.
Now, before we wrap it up, Paris, I know the EA Play PC for Xbox Game Pass just got released like a couple of days ago, and I'm glad to see that, because a lot of the Game Pass subscribers that only have the PC version always been complaining like, man, I wish there was more games available for the service for PC gamers, right? PC subscribers, and I'm happy to see that EA just finally and Xbox finally added this to the service, and hopefully we get to see more announcements in the future. I know we've been having conversation now about certain games that, is it going to be also available on PC or not? Is it only going to be only on console? For you, that you play more PC, because I just play strictly console, is it worth to be a subscriber for PC, so just PC gamers overall that doesn't have the console? And how's it been your experience getting those games from EA Play from Game Pass for you?
My opinion, no. My opinion, okay. If I wasn't also playing on console, I don't necessarily know if I'd want to buy the standalone Game Pass PC right now. It doesn't have the same value that Ultimate would have, as an example, or just having just a standard console Game Pass. There's just, they don't have the parity in titles yet. And that's a problem. Like you mentioned, we're talking about Outriders. Outriders isn't on Game Pass PC. So you're losing that value that you're going to get if you're a console gamer, right? We just talked about Battlefield 6, and I didn't think it would. That would be another example of you're not going to have the parity of the same value that you get. It's like when Xbox is putting out those announcements, pay very close attention to where these things show up. They're on, obviously, they're pretty much all on console. You'll see a lot of them showing up on cloud, and you'll see even less of them showing up on PC. But this is also why they acquired Bethesda. This is why they're doing it. They know. They clearly know. PC isn't up to spec yet, and they got to build up that value the same, because not everyone is going to want to subscribe to Ultimate. You are going to have people that, like, I don't want a freaking Xbox, but I wouldn't mind subscribing to Game Pass PC if I felt there were enough titles to justify it. Right now, I just don't think there is.
And how's it been the experience with EA Play? I know that you did a video, which make sure to check it out on his YouTube channel, on how to install EA Play through the service. Very quick, is it complicated? Why this is a different way to install those games? Or what?
It can be complicated, but it's really not. There are multiple steps, and this is part of the reason why it was delayed. EA Play to PC was delayed because there's a new EA app that you have to download. It's in beta. You have to have that. You have to link your Xbox Live account to your EA account, which I ran into a problem where my Xbox account was attached to an old email address. So I had to do some gymnastics to figure out the password, log in, unlink it, and then relink it in. Then once you do that, you can open the Xbox app. You'll see the games there. click it. Like I did, I downloaded Jedi Fallen Order. That was in the video. So I did that. It immediately switches you over to the EA app. You confirm a couple things, it'll start downloading. Now you'll see it in the, if you watch the video, I didn't see right away that you could see the download progress in the EA app. It was in the bottom left corner. They need to kind of, you know, tweak the UI to make that more just right in front of your face. But then you can go back to the Xbox app and you will see the download progress. You can launch a game from there and all that. You don't have to use the EA app, but it does need to be installed on your machine. So there's multi steps there. Xbox even has a video up talking about it as well. So I just suggest just go checking it out for yourself. But excuse me, like I said, multi step, but not too crazy. The biggest thing is just make sure you can link your Xbox account to the EA account that you're using. That would probably be the only thing that I'm sure I'm not the only one that ran into that issue.
Okay. Anything else, Paris, before we wrap it up? Because it's been great conversation overall.
Last thing, I do want to thank Xbox and I want to thank The Rock. They sent over to me, if you're watching live, you can see it behind me in the background. They partnered up with The Rock and his Zoa energy drink line, and they sent me a mini fridge that looks like an Xbox Series X. So I have that. I have the Zoa energy and all that. Talked about it more on XCast. You can check it out there as well. But definitely want to thank The Rock and Xbox for partnering up and sending that over to me. It was an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, and make sure to check out his Paris's announcement when he got it on Twitter. He posted the video. It was really cool. He's rocking those glasses.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And a lot of people don't know this, man, but this relationship between The Rock and Xbox has been going on since the beginning of Xbox 20 years ago, man, when they first announced the console. They showed the console at CES. The Rock was there with Bill Gates. Also, when I went to the launch event in New York City at Times Square, The Rock was also there with Bill Gates, part of the launch event. For those who don't know, they had the launch event at the Toys R Us store, and across the street, there was a WWF, the early 2000s, restaurant, where that's when they had like the after party. So they had like a lot of local DJs there. We were there partying, and they had Bill Gates and The Rock there too, man. So this is not the first time The Rock and Xbox been, you know, working and stuff together. So it's pretty cool to see, man. And how cold is that fridge, Paris? Like, I'm very curious about that, man. Like, is it?
It gets good. It took about a day for it to properly, you know, I don't know, get calibrated and get everything cool in there. But after a day, I mean, the stuff I have in there right now keeps pretty cool. It's pretty good.
All right. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool, man. Really cool. Shout out to Xbox, man, for that. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. Follow us, subscribe. Share the content to your friends. Just let them know about GTR. That will help us out a lot. And if you can, please post a review. That will help us climb to the top of the charts too, man. If you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion or segment, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have a couple voice messages, but we're going to save that.
Yeah, we got to wrap that up.
We got to save that.
Yeah, I got to take off.
We're going to say that for next time. And I just want to give a shout out to Paris for recording out. This is not the schedule. We're going to be back next week, 9:30 a.m. Pacific. This was just like some last minute changes, man. And thank you, Paris, for joining in. And shout out to Pete and everybody watching here. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Get the glasses.
Let's do it.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.